Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. We're taking a week off from our usual study in the book of Acts because of the special occasion that we have today in which we are honoring our fathers. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and verses 4 through 9. As we look at the topic of Dad's biggest investment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we pray that this portion might be a means of encouragement and help, strength and blessing to our hearts as we look into it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I appreciate so much the fathers that we have present this morning in our church. It's been just a real joy to see the concern that you have for your family, for your children, determination that they walk in the ways of God. And we recognize that today this is a big job. This is a busy life that we have today. The pace of life seems to be constantly increasing. And it's a constant matter of screening our priorities as to where to invest our time and our efforts to the greatest benefit, the greatest profit. In the Word of God, we read that God put the Israelites into the land of Canaan, and He called it the land of milk and honey. And in many ways, the United States of America has been for us a land of milk and honey, a land of great material prosperity. We also read in the Old Testament that God told Israel how they could stay in that land of milk and honey. And He warned them that it was possible for them not to remain in that land of blessing. And I think we recognize today that there is the great possibility that we might not remain in this land of blessing. That we cannot just take it for granted that we will automatically remain forever in a land of blessing and freedom and prosperity. And so God told the Israelites what they would have to do, that their days might be prolonged. And we didn't read the previous verses. Verse 2 says, what they are to do, if that thy days might be prolonged, that they could stay in the land of blessing, is what you have to do, that it might be well with thee. And so we see that God gave them instruction along this line. And God tells them very specifically that He is giving them His commandments, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, in verse 2, and keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son. So here we have some instructions for fathers and for grandfathers. All the days of thy life, and that thy days might be prolonged. And so we see here that God gives them instruction. And we find this repeated in many parts of Scripture. A little bit further on, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give it unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And then further on in the Word of God in Psalm 78, and verses 4 through 7, we read, we will not hide them, speaking of God's commandments, we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And so we find the constant emphasis through Scripture of the importance of teaching these things to our children and to our children's children, that they might not forget these things, the commandments of the Word of God, the principles of Scripture, in order that God might continue to bless us with freedom and liberty and continue to give us His blessing upon us. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, we read, God says, "My people are destroyed." Now why? "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget your children." And so God is so clear in His warnings that if we forget His law, and if we do not make sure that our children know His word, and our children's children know His word, He said, then I will forget your children, and they will not have my blessing. And so our nation today, just as Israel of old, if it is destroyed, it will not be destroyed because of strong enemies. Now, strong enemies will destroy us, just as they destroyed Israel. God raised up the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. Strong empires destroyed them. But it was not because those empires were strong. They were not destroyed because Assyria was strong or because Babylonia was strong. They were destroyed for a lack of knowledge of the Word of God and obedience to that Word. And for that reason, God raised up those nations to destroy them. And so they were destroyed because of the ignorance of the Word of God that prevailed in the land. And in our day, today, if our nation is destroyed, it will not be destroyed because the nations around are so strong. It will be because God has made them strong, because we have been weak, weak in our knowledge of and obedience to the Word of God. And so today, as we celebrate Father's Day and rejoice in the godly fathers that He has given to us, we also want to remind ourselves that fathers have a big job. They have a big investment to make. Where to invest their time and effort? And we are told here in Scripture that the father's biggest investment that he can and must make is investment in storing the Word of God in his own heart and life, and in his wife, his children, and in his nation. This is the hope of our nation today, storing the Word of God. And our nation today is so ignorant of the Word of God. A survey was taken whereby some young people were just at random asked three questions. If they could name the names of the four New Testament Gospels, and the number of the disciples, not the name, just the number of the disciples of Jesus, and what religious event or happening was celebrated at Easter. Those three questions. Of those interviewed at random, 19% could not answer not even one of those questions, much less all three of them. 19%, not even one. And then they filtered out the young people who said that they attended church regularly. I thought, well, now this ought to be a lot better. These, then, young people who attend church regularly. And of them, only 43% could answer the three questions. Less than half. An amazing ignorance of the Word of God in our nation today. And so there needs to be a new emphasis on teaching our children the Word of God, that the Word of God and the ways of God not die out in our nation. Now, how do we do this? We find in the portion of Scripture that we read this morning some counsel that God gives us regarding how to make this big investment of the Word of God in the lives of our children and our children's children. First of all, this investment must be made by love to God. Verse 5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now, this love to God is mentioned before he says, "And these words shall be on thy heart." And so the basis, the prerequisite then for building the Word of God into our children and our children's children is that we have to love God with all of our heart. There has to be a love for God that is the basis for this building the Word of God into our hearts. The motivation for storing God's Word into our hearts and into our children has to be love for God. Now, it can't be a ritual. Well, this is something we ought to do. It cannot be out of pride. I know so many chapters of the Bible. It cannot be out of any boasting. Well, I must be more spiritual because I'm memorizing Scripture. It has to be out of love for God. And that's the only thing that will continue. That's the only way it will keep on. Memorizing Scripture is hard work. And the only reason we will continue is if we really love God. Just like you would devour the letter of a loved one. Our son is off on a study tour in Europe, and the first thing we look for when the mailman comes, you know, is there a letter from Paul? And you can be sure that that letter gets opened because there's a love and a concern and a desire. I read once of a father who made a trip. He was away from the family for several weeks, and he came, and there was nobody at the airport to meet him. He couldn't imagine what happened, so he took a cab home and got home and walked in the door, and said, "Oh, Daddy's home." He says, "Well, I wrote you and told you my flight and the time and everything else." And then he looked, and down here on the little telephone table was his letter, and he picked it up, and it hadn't even been opened. A real love. And here our Bibles lay on the table, and they don't get opened. And God says, "Real love. I really sense that." There has to be love for God, or the Bible won't get opened. There has to be love for God, or it won't get read. Love for God, or it won't be memorized. Because memorization of the Scriptures is hard work. And so it has to be out of love for God. And an unopened Bible, and an empty heart, an empty mind of the Scriptures shows lack of love for God. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And so any other motivation will fail. We can put on pressures and prizes and quizzes and everything like that, but there has to be a love for God in the heart of the one who is the chief motivator of the things of God, and that is the father of the household. And so only love for God will keep us memorizing the Word of God. Secondly, this is accomplished by commitment. In verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now here we have a double thought, really. They shall be in thine heart. In other words, the one who is doing the motivating has to also be the one who's giving the example. And we'll see that also later on. But these words, this could be translated, "shall be on thine heart." And that gives a little different flavor to it, doesn't it? You know, when something's on your heart, we talk about it being on your mind. You know, he's got something on his mind, and he can't think about anything else. Something on his heart is even deeper, and he just keeps going back to it and back to it and back to it because it's on his heart. And this has to be on your heart so that you keep on going back to it and back to it. The biggest investment that you can make, storing the Word of God in your heart and in your family. And this is on your heart because you keep coming back to it. And it's in your heart in that you're giving then an example of, you can see that it's on his heart because he is storing it in his heart as well. I know when I was first saved in the Navy, the first thing that was done was a packet of verses, memory verses, was put in my hand. And these other fellows were memorizing verses. And I saw that they'd already memorized that whole packet. And so I couldn't say, well, no, that's too much. You can't. There are 36 verses in this little package. You can't expect me to memorize. I have a poor memory. It's hard for me to memorize. You can't expect me to do that. They did it. They'd already memorized all 36. And so, to me, it was motivation. If they can do it, I can. And so there's motivation of their commitment. I know one of the first things that struck me as I went to the seminar that we mentioned, the Institute in Basic Youth Conflicts that will be on this week here in Grand Rapids. First thing that struck me was Bill's command of the Scriptures and his sharing with us how in high school God spoke to his heart of memorizing a chapter a week. You know, sometimes we talk about a verse a week or two verses a week, or if you're really a fanatic, you talk about three verses a week. A chapter a week of the Word of God, committing it to memory, storing it in the mind, and then meditating upon it and storing it in the heart. The example of that kind of commitment. And so there needs to be, if we're going to accomplish this, of building Scripture in our lives and in our nation, needs to be this kind of commitment. We need a consuming passion in our day of stamping out Bible ignorance and getting the Word of God out to people. This needs to become a commitment. It needs to become a passion. It needs to be on our heart of getting the Word of God out. And that's why we have these Gospels of John out in the foyer on the window as you go out. That's why in the foyer in the back here we have a tract rack with booklets and tracts. And the desire we've got to get the Word of God out before our nation becomes totally ignorant of the Word of God. And so there needs to be this kind of commitment. Thirdly, there needs to be effort. Verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. I wondered, what does that mean, teach them diligently? And in the margin of my Bible, it says to sharpen. And so I got out my tools and looked that up and found that the word does mean to sharpen. It means like to sharpen a sword. It also means to wound or to pierce, to pierce would be like to drill into. The word also means to inculcate, which means to drill into. It means to engraft, as you would graft a branch into a tree and you cut open and you put it in. To get it inside. That's what it means. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt get it inside. And this is the effort that is needed. And it takes effort. And it's a real joy to see many of you doing this. And my wife gets all the blessing. In fact, somebody asked her one day about her work with children. And they said, no, and how do you get the kids to memorize? What methods do you use for teaching the Scripture, for teaching the memory verses to the children? How do you teach the memory verses to the children? She said, I don't. That's the father's job. And if when the children come on Sunday, they don't know it, why, she'll just say, tell daddy you better get busy. If the children flunk, the father flunks. Because that's the father's job. But it's work. And Norma was really excited last week. She was talking with the kids about their memory verses. And one of the kids said, something about the fact that that I'll have to tell my daddy he's going to have to work harder with me this week. And so the children also realize this is the father's job of getting the Word of God into the hearts of the children. And so there needs to be this effort of teaching diligently, of piercing, of drilling, of getting it inside. And this has to be a constant job. That's why it says also in verse 7, Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So when you're sitting at the table, that's a good time to go over your verses. When you're going for a walk, that's a good time to go over your verses. When you're laying down to go to sleep, when you're getting up in the morning, a good time to go over your verses. That constant contact in that way with the Word of God. I was interested in reading about a man who was a music instructor, a real fanatic, and he taught violin. He would take a little miniature violin and lay it in the crib of the child right after it was born. Then, after a few weeks, he would begin playing music, his classical music, to the child as it was laying there in the crib. And so that at about 6 weeks, he was listening to the classics. By the time he was three, he would begin with formal lessons. And by the time he was seven, he would be an accomplished violinist playing difficult pieces. And I thought, you know, if we could just get that kind of a vision for making our children accomplished biblicists, accomplished in the Word of God. And a while back I heard of a father that determined to do this. And as soon as his child was home from the hospital, he began every day reading a chapter of the Bible to that child. Somebody laughed at him and said, you know, he doesn't understand anything. What are you reading to him for? And he said, the very first thing I want him to hear is the Word of God. And he began right from that day. He says, maybe he can't understand, but even the sounds of the Word of God are going to begin to penetrate into his consciousness. And so there has to be that constancy of repetition. And we need this too. And I find I need this. And you know what I find? I find I waste so much time. One day I was reading the Psalms in Psalm 119:13, we read, I hate vain thoughts. And I thought, vain thoughts, what does that mean? Well, the word really means empty thoughts. And so David here isn't talking about vile thoughts or wrong thoughts or wicked thoughts. David says, I hate vain thoughts or empty thoughts. And I thought, you know, I waste a lot of time with empty thoughts. Have you ever caught yourself with your mind just in, you know, your mind just in neutral and just thinking about all kinds of things? Some of the things that happened already and they're done, you might as well forget them. Some of the things that might happen tomorrow, but they might never happen, and so you're wasting your time thinking about them. Thinking about just rambling, vain thoughts, empty thoughts. When I could be meditating on Scripture, going over the Scriptures in my mind. I find I waste so much time that way. And this is what the rest of the verse says. David says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. There it is. And God says, now here you've spent all this time and you've been hassling over this problem in your mind. Well, why do I need to hassle over this problem in my mind? That isn't going to solve it. God's the one that's going to solve it. And so what I need to do is just commit it to him and say, God, here's this problem. You can have it. I'm looking to you to solve it. In the meantime, I love your law. I'm going to spend my time meditating on your law, on your word. And so David says, I hate empty thoughts, not because they're wicked or anything like that, but because they deprive me of that time that I need of just going over and over and over again the word of God. And so we need to redeem the time because the days are evil and the time is short. And we need to be thinking about the Word of God. And so we teach these things diligently unto thy children. And then as we saw in the previous portion, and to thy children's children. And there's a real ministry here for grandparents also, for teaching the Word of God. Grandparents, I always remember, grandparents are ones that like to give away peppermints and quarters. Well, it used to be pennies, and then it was nickels, and then it was dimes, and then it was quarters. I don't know, maybe even quarters aren't enough now to keep the grandkids happy. But, you know, Grandpa always had, you know, here's a quarter for you or something like that to spend. You know, I wonder, why don't we get mileage out of those quarters? And instead of just giving them away, why don't we get something for them? And maybe you have to make them bigger. Maybe it has to be a half a dollar or a dollar. But how about getting some mileage? And maybe even bigger amounts. You know, rather than saving that inheritance and having the family fight over it when you're gone, why don't you use it while you're living and say to the, here's your little grandson, and say, you know, Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. You know, I bet you could memorize that. Well, I don't know, Grandpa, that's pretty hard. Well, I memorized it. I can say it from memory. I think you can too. You got a better memory than I do. You know, I think it'd almost be worth, I think I'd even give you $5 if you could say the whole Psalm 23. $5? You know, the eyes get big. Get some mileage out of those quarters. Put them together and you say, oh, no, the problem there is he's going to have wrong motives. He's going to think that Bible and money go together and you have to do it for money. Look, if the only motivation is the money, then it could be wrong. But, see, the primary motivation is that you've already done it and that you are doing it. If you're not memorizing yourself, forget it. Because then he's going to see, I'll do it now for the money, but when I get bigger like Daddy, then I won't have to do it anymore either. Or when I get older like Grandpa, then I won't have to do it anymore either. So your primary motivation has to be that he wants to be like Daddy. Daddy memorizes Scripture. I want to be like Daddy. That's the primary motivation. But sometimes we need a little extra motivation, don't we? And that little extra motivation sometimes can really help. By the time he gets a little weak on the, I want to be like Daddy, but maybe not quite that bad because this is getting hard, that's when you bring out the dollar bill and say, let's give it an extra little push and get the Word of God into the minds and hearts of our children, our grandchildren. It's a real problem today with grandchildren in that sometimes they're a ways away from you. Maybe they're in another city and you say, well, how can I help my grandchildren get the Word of God when I'm hundreds of miles away, maybe even further? Well, there are many things you can do. And I read this week of some grandparents that in order to be able to read Bible stories to their grandchildren, they bought a Bible story book, sat down, read it into a tape recorder, bought a tape recorder for their grandchild, and then took them or sent them, I don't remember this, on a visit, this tape and the book and the tape recorder. And so the child, week after week after week, anytime they wanted to, they could sit down, push on the tape recorder and sit there and listen to Grandpa read the Bible story to them. And a constant getting the Word of God in. When they would write to them, they would say, now I'm going to write my memory verse for you that I learned today, or the psalm that I'm working on or something like that. And I didn't look at my Bible when I wrote this. You check it in your Bible and see if I did it right. And then you write me your verses. And there are things that you can do. If we really want to do it, we can find ways of building the Scripture into the lives of our children and our grandchildren. Now, primary motivation, we've got to be doing it ourselves. Secondary motivation, we can find all kinds of other things to do. And some might say, well, what do I do? Maybe a young person say, well, my dad isn't a Christian. What can I do? I think maybe there are things that we can do. Sometimes a wife will say, my husband isn't a Christian. There are things we can do in the proper way and time of asking them if they will help us with our memorization, help make us accountable. Say you're having trouble memorizing. You say, well, I really ought to do, I've been wanting for a long time to memorize Matthew chapter 5, and I just haven't really found the motivation to do it. And, you know, I can't, my parents aren't Christians, and when I go home to visit them, you know, I can't plan on any help there. Well, I don't know about that. You just might be able to write to your dad and say, Dad, I really want to learn the Scriptures, and I've been wanting something to help motivate me to learn maybe the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Maybe when I come home for Thanksgiving, could you do me a favor of saying, now, don't forget, you can't have your Thanksgiving dinner until you've told me Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And they just might get excited about doing something that like that for you. And check me out, would you? You take the Bible and you listen to it and see if I'm doing it right. I think there's so much we could be doing if we would just have it upon our hearts. We've got to do this. The knowledge of God is disappearing from our nation. We've got to do this. We've got to get serious about the Word of God. And it's going to take some effort if we're going to saturate ourselves and our nation with the Word of God. And then fourthly, it's got to be by review. Verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Well, I don't know what he means, a sign upon thine hand and a frontlet between thine eyes. I know what the Jews did. They had a little box with scriptures in that they'd use like a bracelet and another one that they would hang in their forehead. I suppose that's all right. I like to think of things a little more practical. And if you're going to talk about a sign upon your hand that's going to get you to get the Word of God into your heart, I like memory verse cards. That's what you need in your hand. So that as you're walking down the street, you can pull out your memory verse cards and they're in your hand and you can glance at them every now and then. That's what you call review. You've got to review. Constantly review. Put them as between your eyes. Well, just put them on the mirror where you shave or comb your hair. So that when you wake up in the morning, you look and say, oh, I've shaved. First thing you see, Word of God. On the dashboard, there are ways. We've got to get it before our eyes, in our hand, or else it's not going to get in our minds and in our hearts. And so it's constant review. One way I found I really get excited about is we got one of these jogging trampolines. And you know, you can get on that and you can jog for about 15 minutes with the scriptures in your hand right in front of you. And you have 15 minutes of memorization at the same time that you're jogging. Maybe you like to bike ride. You can have if you have a card that's got your verses in pretty good size print, as you're riding along, you can take a look every now and then or clip it to the front of your bike. There are ways we can do it if we really want to build the Word of God into our hearts. Well, sometimes we get discouraged. I recognize that. And one of our little kids was telling my wife he was having a little bit of problems, or I don't know if it was, maybe his dad was having a little bit of problems learning the verse, and the little kid said to his dad, Dad, you got to do it every day. Well, amen. You've got to do it every day. And I realize it gets discouraging. I know sometimes I'll have a portion, I think I've got it. You know, one day I'll just zip right through it. Great, I've got it. And I get so confident. I think, isn't that good? That's wonderful. And the next day, I can't remember a word. The whole thing went. And it seems like you start all over again. You don't really. It just seems that way. But you have to constantly review. One thing you want to remember, that when you're reviewing, be sure you're meditating. Not just memorizing. Because if you're meditating as well, then you get profit, even though it looks like you're forgetting it. And then fifthly, verse 9, by association. He says, put it on the posts of your house and upon your gates. And I think it's important. We ought to have plaques, scripture plaques, all over our house. And so that wherever you look, you're reminded of the scriptures. And whether they're made out of wood or cross-stitch or whatever they are, have the scriptures in front of you constantly. In fact, I just love the way the church was remodeled, but I was telling our board, one of the things that I really miss, I miss the scripture verses that were up there. And I was in a place, a chapel recently, where I saw they had right around their church, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold, I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. And I think we need to have constantly the Word of God before us, even while we're worshiping. And pray the Lord will send somebody capable maybe of giving us some, maybe those verses up here or other verses, that even while we're worshiping, before our eyes, we have constantly the Word of God. And in our homes, the same thing. And it says here on our gates, I've been trying to figure out how you can have something on my front door that people come and knock on the front door. And I appreciate the sign out here I mentioned that we're going to get some new letters for. People read these things. We've got to have the Word of God constantly available to us. And the various ways by which we need to get the Word of God out. I was reading this week of some believers in Russia. This one man visited Russia, and he had the opportunity of visiting with a few believers there. And they showed him their hand-copied Bible. They had copied it out by hand because Bibles are so scarce they couldn't get one, and they were able to borrow one from a friend, and little by little they copied it out. And I thought, here we've got so many Bibles, and yet we are so lax as to getting the Word of God out while we have it. One of the most important things God has given to us is time, and we have to invest that time. And so for fathers, we know that's a real problem. How do you invest your time? Your time and your strength, your effort, the biggest investment that the father has to make is that of investing the Word of God into his own heart, into his family. The wisest investment that a father can make is building Scripture into his own heart and his own family. And as we look at the perilous days ahead of us, we have to remember that the only thing, even in spite of all the wickedness in our nation, the only thing that can destroy our children is a lack of a knowledge of and love for the Word of God. That's the only thing that can possibly destroy our children and our children's children, is an ignorance of the Word of God. I've been amazed as I've read of our history of our nation, the founding fathers, how much Bible was in the founding of our nation, whereas today, how much ignorance we have of the Word of God. 1983 is the year of the Bible, but the only way it's really going to be the year of the Bible is as you and I make it the year of the Bible, by reading the Word of God and storing it into our hearts. I saw a picture recently of a man, and this was an advertisement of an investment corporation, and they showed a man with a big leaf rake, and he was raking in the bills, the greenbacks, and just says, "Would you like to rake it in, you know, invest with us?" And I thought, oh, the blessing that we would rake in if we would just invest in the Word of God as we ought to invest. Father, we thank you for your Word, and we confess that we so easily are distracted or discouraged from that which is our primary need, and that is that we as a people and we as a nation have the Word of God stored in our hearts, that we might walk in obedience to its teachings. And so we pray that you would enable us to do this. Thank you for each father here present today and for this special day. And we recognize the tremendous responsibility upon each father and grandfather present. And we pray that you would enable us by your grace to fulfill this responsibility, that our children and our grandchildren might enjoy the blessings of the land flowing with milk and honey, because in that same land there flows the knowledge of the Word of God. And so we trust you for this. We pray that should there be in our midst today one who doesn't know the Savior, we pray that today might be the day when that one will repent of his sins and trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior and get into the Word of God and find also the blessing of the Scriptures as they feed our souls. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I had another hymn picked out to close with, but as we sang the hymn in our opening session, 169, Faith of Our Fathers, and as I noticed the words of this hymn, I was impressed how the words say exactly the same thing that our scripture this morning said. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. And unless we get the Word of God to our children and children's children, we will be facing some dungeon, fire, and sword. Faith of our fathers chained in prison dark. We're still in heart and conscience free, and there might come a time soon when in order to be in free in heart and conscience, there will be some prison. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, getting the Word of God out. Through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then truly be free. And so as we sing this song through once again, if you didn't get the full impact of the message, notice the words as we sing again. 169, shall we stand as we sing? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Father, we pray that this might be the motivation of each of our hearts this week. And now the very God of peace sanctify You wholly. And I pray, God, that Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it.